Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And I'm going to continue my discussion on karma today. We are going to talk about the most important relationship in your life, the relationship with yourself. Karma and the self, and the biggest problem that a lot of us earthlings have in this dimension, getting along with ourselves, liking ourselves, respecting ourselves, having communion with the multidimensional part of ourselves, nurturing our bodies, pampering our bodies, and obviously if you don't fix the karma with yourself, then the result is suffering and pain and agony and sometimes incarceration of some kind. So I think more important than any other karma, and frankly connected to all other karmas, is the relationship we have with number one, with that person that we see in the mirror, the self. And that's from which the aura, the soul, and the karma radiates from. And of course, if you were Jim Dolce, our program director, you'd have no karma with yourself, because you'd be in perfect communion with yourself. Jim's not listening. He's busy working in the station. But anyway, this is the Astrology Hour, proudly on KFOX for 5 full years. I'm pretty excited about this weekend. You know, it's funny. I've been watching all this Neptunian stuff on television with the Voyager 2 discoveries. You know, they're discovering storms on Neptune that aren't supposed to be there, and they're discovering moons that they didn't know about and rings. You know, astrologically, Neptune is the citadel of spiritual awareness. In other words, this planet, of all the planets in the system, they are now calling it the most interesting of all the planets Voyager has been to. Well, that is because Neptune, astrologically and metaphysically, is of a total interdimensional nature. What I kind of tend to think is that there are vortexes, and there are actually areas of Neptune that are warps, are gateways to other realms. And what we are literally witnessing is we're witnessing a whirlpool of energy on that planet that is actually undefinable in earthly terms. So I'm sure the scientists will probably be playing with that puppy for quite some time, but at least astrologers and metaphysical people are well aware of the vibration on Neptune and why we are getting so exciting. What I'm here to tell you now is that I firmly believe at this point that there is a 10th planet. And I believe this planet is so tiny, it's much smaller than Mercury, it's almost asteroid size, but it does exist beyond the orbit of Neptune. In fact, this planet might have been once a moon of Neptune along with Pluto. And I do believe that this planet has not been visible to the naked eye or to telescopes or to spectral analysis, because it's so far out, so small, and moves so slow that it would be like finding a needle in a haystack. But believe it or not, I believe that Voyager will pick up this 10th planet, which will be named Vulcan, and which will be assigned to either Gemini or Virgo, or either Libra or Taurus when it is discovered, one of those four. And I do believe that this discovery will be made once Voyager leaves the Neptunian realm, and within 2 years after it leaves. If there is a 10th planet out there, this will be the way we will discover it. Now, if it's not, I guess I'm a fool, but if it is, at least you heard it first here in the Astrology Hour. You know, I have discovered a whole lot of stuff in my quest for life on this planet, in this lifetime, and I've discovered a whole lot of things, but one of the main things I was trying to discover was the secret to life, the mystery to life. Why are we here? Why are we born? What's the purpose? And, you know, I've really reduced it to a very simple philosophy, because I understand that this entire realm is an illusion, and that everything that we perceive is really a part of our own mind, or actually a projection of the overmind, or the supermind, or the God essence, then really, in truth, we are the center of the universe. In fact, we are the universe. In fact, we're it. There is only one consciousness, and it is us. And we are actually a projection of our own selves, or the main self, the one force, which we identify oftentimes as God, okay? But, you know, so the point in life, you know, understanding that much of what we create, if not all, right, is a projection from the mind, from the force of God that lies within the body, then what is the answer here? Well, I guess it has a lot to do with embracing, respecting, accepting and loving and nurturing and pampering that which is us, or the universe that surrounds us, and it starts from within, the source of light and love and power and grace and mercy. Okay? So if you want to understand karma, and if you want to understand metaphysics, and you want to understand the universe, and you want to try to solve the secrets of mankind, then it starts right there at home with you. And the big question that you might want to ask yourself for this topic is, how is my relationship with myself? You know, oftentimes we look in the mirror, oftentimes we hear from other people what we're about. In other words, I love those people that are real anxious to let us know what state we're in. You know what? They have a thing in, I believe, AA or CA, where you're not supposed to use the word you. You're not supposed to use the word you are this and you are that and you are, you're supposed to stick to things like I, you know, I am this and I am that, and stop being so judgmental. Because what we tend to do is put ourselves in situations around other people that are always saying, Farley, you're this and Farley, you're that and Farley, you're this. And because we're sensitive and vulnerable in our human form, we tend to believe people that tell us things about ourselves. We're more vulnerable to it, and therefore it manifests. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, the secret to life, in my opinion, is overcoming this negativity and judgmentalism and accepting and embracing whatever state you are in, okay, and loving it, nurturing it, and protecting and preserving it, and also working hard to try to evolve further into states of bliss and self-love. You know, when I take a look at the world problems, and when I take a look at personal problems and at family problems, believe it or not, it starts with the self. It starts with the individual. A lot of people that seek comfort outside of their own bodies, outside of their own realms of influence, their personal realms of influence. A lot of people that seek escapism, you know, or that think they find comfort in things like getting high, getting stoned, getting drunk, smoking, caffeine, cocaine, heroin, whatever. What they're really doing is they're sort of numbing or covering up what they are. You know, and this is the result, right, of children in the childhood, right, from the family, from the father and the mother and the peers and the brothers and sisters walking around giving us this you, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that, and you start to believe it. You know, you get very insecure. In the astrology chart, the karma of the self is defined by the squares in our chart, which means if you have any planets at 90 degree angles to the earth, then that will get you a square. And frankly, each sign has two signs that square it. Like, for example, Capricorn and Cancer will square Aries, and Aquarius and Leo will square, well actually Capricorn and Cancer square two signs, so it's Aries on one sign, and it's Libra on the other. Same way with Cancer. Cancer will have Aries and Libra square it. Capricorn will have Aries and Libra square it. See, like, those are the cardinal signs. In the fixed grouping, we have another block. Leo is squared by Taurus and Scorpio, just like Aquarius is squared by Taurus and Scorpio. And then we find Taurus and Scorpio, like I say, both squared by Leo and Aquarius. See, so each sign has two signs to square. That's the fixed grouping. And then the mutable grouping would be Gemini and Sag are squared by Pisces and Virgo. And same with Pisces and Virgos. They are squared once again by Gemini and Sag. So we do find that if we have squares in our chart, then that means we have karma with the self. With a square produces vulnerability, it produces sensitivity, it produces what we call a personal touch that makes us take things too hard, to heart. It's like the elephant syndrome. We never forget when we have one too many squares in the chart. So what a lot of us do is we, instead of growing up and raising our children with positive reinforcement and self-esteem and self-love and spirit of God philosophies to fortify this being inside of them, to have them love and accept and respect and embrace it, I think we would overwhelm the drug problem by changing the educational system in this country, for sure, by teaching children about their higher power in first grade and kindergarten, and by teaching them how important they are as beings, now not as selfish, egotistical weirdos, but as just spiritual, graceful, loving, tender, sensitive creatures that are important and special in a way that they have this power of love and this power of mercy and this power of manifestation or creating whatever they believe to be real, you know? So, you know, by teaching people that, then what you're doing is you're overcoming the squares in their chart. You're teaching them to overcome the squares. You're teaching them to overcome the karma with the self. And if a child is not fortified and reinforced with this type of knowledge, then what happens is they will grow up thinking that there is something wrong with themselves. They will have a problem forming a relationship with themselves. They may never like what they see in the mirror or what they look down in their bodies. And they may spend an entire lifetime either numbing it, covering it up, running away from it, or trying to surgically correct it. No. You know, what I think is that I think people are special and people are unique, and I am tired of people being so judgmental. You know, like, so we all know that things like smoking and obesity and dairy products and red meat and also drugs and alcohol and living in smog-infested environments and also polluted environments are not good for our bodies. That's right. So each one of those can be used as an element or an implement of self-destruction. You know, if you do smoke or if you do drink coffee or if you do take drugs or eat meat, then it's a slow death. You know, it's your way of saying, I don't like what I am. I'm not happy with it. I want to numb myself so I don't have to deal with it. I want to cover it up. I want to get through it and end it already. It's finished. You know, I have a friend who's 80, a friend of mine who's 80, and he's so fed up with life that he wants to die. But he's not going to die because he's not finished with his karma yet. And part of his karma is to learn to love and accept what he is, which he doesn't. He doesn't like himself at all. He still smokes Camels, and he still eats chocolate, and he still eats red meat, and he's in a lot of pain, but he's 80 years old. He's never had surgery yet, but who knows what's ahead for him. You know, a lot of people, they don't realize it, but subconsciously they create a lifestyle which is a self-destructive slow death. You know, and you can tell, you can really understand a very simple test to see how the relationship is with yourself. When you wake up in the morning, in the middle of the day, or at night, anytime random, go into the bathroom or where your largest mirror is in a quiet moment and look at yourself. Look at yourself, even if you have a two-way or a three-way mirror, look at the sides of your face and the back of your head, the back of your body, and see how you feel. You know, how do you feel about it? You know, now, if you are somebody that is quick to judge others, then you may never, ever be able to accept who and what you are. You know, because some people that weigh like 120 pounds and they should weigh 119 will think they're fat because they're 1 pound overweight. And that, you know, that to me is a shame. It's almost a perversity because it says a lot about not really being able to accept a person the way they are unto themselves. You know, and maybe the reason why you think you're fat because you have 1 pound overweight is because somebody in your life told you that if you were 1 pound overweight, you're fat. And that's baloney, you know, because you live your life and you shackle yourself with all this self-judgment and self-criticism and outer judgment and criticism, and then all these diseases like anorexia and drug addiction and alcoholism and nicotine addiction, all this stuff is developed. And it's all developed as a way for us to hide from what we are. Now, you know, when I go in the bathroom and I see old Farley in there, you know, I am so vibed out by who and what I am now. And I even have people in my life that love me just the way I am. And, you know, of course, I've gotten rid of my bad habits, a lot of them, the smoking and the drinking and the caffeine and the nicotine and, you know, any substance abuse. It's all gone now. It's part of my past. Maybe one of my vices is that I like to eat. Maybe I do have a few pounds more in my body than I should, but I still like what I am, no matter what I am, because I know that if you're hard on yourself and if you feel negative about what you are, then that'll only compound the problem. In other words, if you are somebody that does have a problem in his life, then no one's expecting you to overcome it immediately, overnight. You know, like maybe one of the reasons why I ate, believe it or not, I remember in my childhood that whenever I was good, I was rewarded with good food and with desserts and candy and sugar and all that stuff. So maybe that's the way I reward myself now. And that's really one of the problems why a lot of people are overweight, because it was a gestalt type of thing we learned in childhood. So you got to overcome one thing at a time. So no one is really trying to expect you to overturn your life situation overnight. But the purpose of this topic is to let you know that I believe the secret of life and the secret of health and comfort and happiness has to do, number one, with that relationship with yourself. And if you learn how to love yourself without any limitation, unconditionally, no matter what situation you are in, even if you have a drug problem or you have alcoholism or you smoke pot or cigarettes or whatever, learning how to look in the mirror at whatever you are and learning to pamper and nurture and take care of that being that's in the mirror is the secret to helping you overcome some of your self-destruction. You know, and you know what happens if you don't care for yourself and if you don't work on it, if you don't get in touch with the higher power and you don't do something about it, then what happens is you create a karma with yourself. Now, all karma is with yourself anyway, no matter what you do, right? But the karma that you create towards your body, okay, towards the body of the temple of the soul, is a lot more intense because you have to pay more of a direct price for that type of karma, which means that if you don't like yourself and you pour alcohol or drugs or cigarettes or pot or too much saturated fat or cholesterol in your system, and if you don't start reversing it with mental and emotional changes and eventually, lifestyle changes, well, then the karma comes in. And, you know, if your stress levels are negative too, like if you worry and you're always into failure syndrome and Murphy's Law, and you're saying, when you're saying, I'm this and I'm that, it's I'm this and I'm that negative things, well, then you create a negative energy in your aura that will manifest in your body, and that's how we get health problems. Okay, now I'm not a doctor here, but I'm trying to explain to you metaphysically my opinion on how people make themselves sick or why they end up in the hospital and why things like AIDS and heart disease and cancer are allowed to manifest in our lives. Many metaphysicians will tell you that these problems are diseases of the spirit. Okay, and that actually there are problems where people that are running so far away from the love and the sanctuary and the sacred purpose of the spirit that they've lost grasp with what the purpose and the secret to life really is. So they must undergo suffering and pain and surgery or hospitalization or institutionalization in order to finally come to grips with this. Sometimes the universe knocks you on your can in a hospital bed and forces you to sit still, with all these needles and tubes and stuff being put in you until you finally realize, hey, I gotta start taking care of myself. I gotta start caring for myself. You know, I can't do this. You know, there's people out there that have heart attacks or they are prescribed with heart disease and they'll still eat high cholesterol foods. They'll still run high stress level lifestyles and they'll still keep smoking. Well, you know, sometimes you don't always fall dead from that. Sometimes you end up having 4, 5, 6, even 7 heart attacks first before you do. And each one of those is a hospital visit. So, you know, it's like I think the symptom to why people run away, and if you take a look at this planet, at how many of the 5 billion people on this planet are susceptible to caffeine, you know, which is a killer, susceptible to sugar, killer number two, susceptible to nicotine, killer number three, susceptible to marijuana and to also cocaine and heroin, killer number 4, 5, and 6, and they're also susceptible to just low self-esteem. Whether they don't take any drugs or not, they just don't like themselves. And they can never, ever reach a place where they do because they're perfectionists about themselves and it always seems to be something. You know, you end up getting people that are off-center, they're unfocused, they're not in a state of spiritual grace or protection, and then on top of that, they leave themselves wide open to entity interference. Entity interference means the discarnate Okay, unliving souls that have not gone into the light because they don't know about the process are caught in a limbo state with us here on Earth. They're like leeches. If you ever read H.P. Lovecraft's From Beyond, he talks all about it. And this guy was very metaphysical. There's even a movie out there called From Beyond that documents these entities. And if you rent it, be careful because it's scary and it's also very real. But the thing is that these leeches exist, and what they do is attach themselves to people that are weak of spirit, you know, that are uncentered, unfocused, that are lost, self-destructive people that don't like themselves. You know, loving yourself is the number one way of spirit protection. And when you don't care about yourself, you lower your guard, and you can get up to 15 or 20 of these discarnate entities attached to your heart chakra, your throat chakra, your crown chakra, your brow chakra, your lower chakras. And these people, these beings who are also weak in spirit when they died because they didn't go into the light, they only lead you farther away. They're the ones that are like, you're this and you're that and you're this, and they're attached to you. And until you're able to protect yourself with that godly spiritual self-love, you leave yourself wide open to this interference that takes you further away from the purpose. You know, what this planet needs is a massive exorcism. Really, this planet needs a massive exorcism and a restoration of the power of God within the hearts and minds of men and women. And if that happened, then a lot of these problems, a lot of this fear, a lot of this competition and jealousy and greed and avarice and vindictiveness and evil and hatred and horror would disappear from this planet. I think it's that simple. Wow, where's this show coming from? Not from this earth, Farley. But anyway, thank you, God. But anyway, what I do think really is that, it all starts at home with you. Being able to sit at alone by yourself, whether it's in a car or whether you're just at home alone thinking and having a good time, you know, and saying to yourself, gosh, if your name's Farley, you know, Farley's my best friend. I love the guy. I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to pamper him. He's got bad habit. He still likes sugar a little bit. I'm going to try hard to get over that. At least I recognize and identify it, that I'm not eating it because I hate myself. I'm eating it because it's a bad habit I never got over. Maybe that there was a symptom where I didn't like myself younger and I'm still dealing with that. You know, it's a lifelong process. You know, but I think true high self-esteem and true self-love, the symbol and the reflection of this guru-type state, is a person that doesn't kill themselves. You know, I always use the example of a dog. You know, we oftentimes take care of our dogs and sometimes we don't. You know, the fact we feed these animals this garbage that comes out of a can, it's no wonder they have health problems too. You know, that's bad enough. But, you know, maybe we should give them chicken or something and spend some money and really feed them well, right? If they're going to eat meat, let them eat meat, right, instead of whatever they put in the can. But, you know, the question is that would you give your dog cigarettes? And would you give your dog pot? Or would you give your dog alcohol? You know, let's make a better symbol. How about a baby? How about your child? You know, would you intravenous hook up your baby to sugar, to alcohol, to pot, to heroin, or any of these things, caffeine? No. Yeah, I don't think if you love that baby, you wouldn't, but you'd do it to yourself. Now, if you loved yourself as much as you loved someone outside of yourself, isn't it funny how we're into this transferal where we love other people more than ourselves? And that's wrong. You know, it's okay to love other people, but you must retain a spiritual priority to protect yourself, to feel good, to feel comfortable, to feel healthy, and to overcome this negative effect that affects us from these dark entities and from our own actually undoing of harming our bodies with the toxins we put into us. You know, and people, you know, I have a friend of mine who went to the doctor, and they told him he has a blocked artery. He's already under a lot of stress already because of some problems in his family, and they tell my pal he's got a blocked artery, and I'm telling him, why don't you stop smoking, you know? And he's sitting there telling, well, Farley, you're overweight. Well, I don't have a blocked artery either, and I don't have any problems. You know, if I did have a problem, then maybe I would change my lifestyle a little bit more. I keep trying to be healthier, but if someone gets a report like that, then maybe it's time to stop the smoking, you know, because we're in red alert here. You know, I'm not in red alert, but he is. But he went around and turned it around against me. And a lot of people do that. They get into denial. They don't want to admit what the problem is. And the problem is that they're hurting themselves. They're pouring poison into their body, and so many people do it. And I've had enough already. You know, I take a look at his chart and my chart and a lot of people's charts that have these squares in them, and I realize that the secret of life, the purpose of life, is really to form a relationship with yourself and to nurture and pamper whatever it is you see in the mirror there. Love it! So if you're overweight, or if you're bald, or if you're graying, or if you, so you don't have a perfect complexion, your skin's not perfect, everybody's got something, for crying out loud, people, we are human. We are human beings, and that's what being human is all about. It's a unique experience, for sure. You know, but you gotta embrace what you have, and when you do, then you can start having whatever you want. You know, but if you, until you take care of your homework, then you're just going to compound what some of your problems are. Now, remember one thing about this topic. Number one, natal squares. Natal squares in your chart are reflections of karma with the self, insecurity, vulnerability, and oversensitivity. Number two, transit squares. When you have squares from outer planets to the squares in your natal chart, new squares, right, that didn't exist at birth, then what that could do is that could bring you into a period of insecurity, a transformation cycle where you feel down, or suddenly you're harder on yourself or more prone to being self-destructive and negative and depressed. And all that stuff, you know, you don't have to take drugs or drink coffee or smoke cigarettes or pot to be negative to your body. Just be depressed and stressed out all the time. That'll do it. Number one killer, stress. If you better learn how to meditate and mellow out, I don't care what's happening in your life with people around you. If you don't take care of your homework, then you're going to create some karma with the self. If life is too tough to handle right now, then walk away from it for a while to regroup and center and ground. It'll still be there when you get back. It'll be there when you get back. You know, and so number two, transit squares. In other words, when planets in the sky are square planets in your natal chart, that can open you up to forming negative karma by being hard on yourself. And finally, compatibility squares. When you're in relationships with people who have planets squaring planets in your chart, watch out that you don't use the word you and be judgmental and critical towards them. And be careful when they try to say you're this and you're that and you're this back to you and try to make you feel bad or hard on yourself. It's the squares in astrology that reveal the karma with the self. And there's a topic for you to get ready in an outstanding, far-out, exciting weekend, the end of the moon wobble today. But I would like to salute my members, the members of the Astrology Hour Club. Congratulations for bringing this type of energy. I want you to know that I firmly believe that each and every one of you benefits in your soul banks, in your karma bank, by sending in and allowing this show to be delivered to people in Southern California or whoever hears it, wherever the tapes are sent. I'm aware the tapes are sent all over the world. People record the show and send it away out of the city, and I salute those people in other cities and countries that are listening to the show. And I want you to know that the people that are bringing you this show are people out there that care about this planet. So they support the Astrology Hour so I can deliver this type of philosophy to others and hope to turn them around and help them, and we all receive benefits from it. You know, so I salute you. The Astrology Hour Club will go down in metaphysical history. Believe me, we are all connected in one big happy family, and you know that's true.